Hello and welcome to the Money Talk podcast. I'm Ed Monk. Today on the show, we're asking the question, will rising prices at last bring about a rise in interest rates? There was further news this week of prices rising well above the Bank of England's target range, and now mortgage and other borrowers are being warned that their debt is about to get more expensive. That's the focus today. I will apologise in advance for any difference in the sound quality this week. We did run into some technical issues. But if you enjoyed the show, please rate us, share us, or leave a comment wherever you get your podcasts. By common consensus, UK households face a tough winter ahead. If empty supermarket shelves weren't bad enough, there's also a squeeze on budgets coming from significant rises in the prices of many everyday goods. The last thing households need then is the prospect that their mortgage repayments will get more expensive as well. But that is now a strong possibility after the Bank of England dropped its biggest hint yet that interest rates will soon rise in order to curb inflation. To discuss what that's likely to mean for our finances, I'm joined by Tom Stevenson, Investment Director here at Fidelity. Tom, let's start with the latest on inflation, because we've had a new set of figures on that today. We're recording on Wednesday. What did they tell us?
Well, rather surprisingly, Ed, the inflation rate actually went down today. It went down to 3.1%. It was 3.2% in the prior month. Now, there's a good reason for that. It's a technical reason. I mean, the inflation rate is a year-on-year rate, and if you remember back to last year, last August, we had the Eat Out to Help Out scheme that got a lot of people spending money in restaurants. That scheme came to an end, and that change had a big influence on prices and the year on year comparisons accordingly. So I think we mustn't look too closely at the latest figure, and clearly the Bank of England is not looking too closely at that figure, because we had some comments at the weekend from Andrew Bailey, but you know, worrying about rising inflation rates. So it's a complicated one to talk about today, because we're talking about inflation going up, and we're doing it on the back of an inflation rate which has actually gone down, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, indeed. And we can explain that a bit more, because it's one of those things that, frankly, you know, I spent years writing about inflation and getting tripped up on exactly this sort of quirk in the statistics. What you had last year was prices in restaurants falling as a result of Eat Out to Help Out. And then when the scheme ended in, I guess, September last year, they rose. And because this year we haven't also seen that commensurate rise in prices, because the scheme doesn't exist this time round, then the statistics show that as a downward inflationary or downward influence on the headline rate. It's a bit confusing, but I think the important thing the important point to make here is that that's obviously to do with restaurant prices and something that people can choose to go and spend their money on or not. There's plenty in the inflation basket which are costs which can't be avoided, Tom. And all over the place, those prices are rising, aren't they? I mean, we've got energy prices, fuel prices, which the ONS picked out again, rising very quickly.
Yeah, and that is why, Ed, everyone is so confident about the likelihood of inflation rising from here on in. Because if you go back to the 5 months from September last year, sort of September through to January, February, the inflation rate was pretty flat over that period. Now, we already know about price rises coming through in lots of different areas. So almost just as a matter of fact, the inflation rate is going to rise over the next few months.
Yeah, and you mentioned briefly the Bank of England and Andrew Bailey. He's the governor of the Bank of England, and its thinking on inflation. Can you describe, Tom, exactly where the bank is right now on inflation? Because it's fair to say the position has evolved a bit, and I guess that's what makes the current situation a little worrying.
Yes, the thinking of the Bank of England has definitely evolved, and it's slightly parted company with other central banks, which is also interesting. So, you know, roll back, you know, 3 or 4 months, I think there was a sort of unanimous view amongst central bankers that the rise in inflation that we were seeing was a temporary factor. It was a transitory factor, to use the language that central banks use, reflecting the fact that we were pulling out of the pandemic. Now, what's changed is that the Bank of England, more so actually than the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, the Bank of England seems to believe that the inflationary impulses that we're seeing are actually a bit more structural, a bit more entrenched, a bit more longer lasting than maybe they thought only 3 or 4 months ago. So that is what's prompted comments last weekend from Andrew Bailey saying, do you know what, the time has come when we are going to have to act. You know, it is part of our remit to control the inflation rate. And, you know, we hoped that it was going to sort itself out. But actually, we think now that we are going to have to raise interest rates in order to rein in inflation.
Yeah, and that decision is a really interesting one, Tom, because, as you say, you know, it has a job to curb inflation if it can. Now, it can take demand pressure out of the economy, can't it? It can make borrowing more expensive. That means people have less money to spend, reducing demand. But we know that a big part of the inflation picture right now is supply and problems and the fact that there's fewer things to buy, and that's going to squeeze supply and that's going to push prices up as well. So how much say does the bank have, no matter, you know, what noises it's making? How much influence can it have on the inflation rate?
It's a very good question, and there is quite a strong argument to be made for central bank policy, for interest rate policy, actually not having much impact on the type of inflation that we've got, which is this supply driven inflation rather than demand driven inflation. So if inflation is rising because everyone is optimistic and they're going out and spending money and the economy is booming, then raising the cost of money, increasing interest rates, can have a direct impact in slowing down that rate of inflation. If the inflationary drivers are more supply-based, so you talked about supply chain problems, just difficulties getting stuff into the hands of consumers, if it's to do with rising energy prices, gas bills going up, wages rising, that kind of thing, then it's a moot point. Does raising interest rates actually have any impact on that?
Yeah, I mean, and we shouldn't discard the possibility here, Tom, that there's a bit of saber rattling going on. Central bankers are very cognizant of the words that they use, and that speech from Andrew Bailey in particular felt like he was saying, I'm sending a signal, and by the way, if that wasn't obvious, let me tell you explicitly, this is a signal. You know, he sort of almost said that, didn't he?
Yes, and he's probably sending a signal to more than one constituency. I mean, he's sending a signal to the country at large. You know, don't think that we're going to let inflation run away, because one of the drivers of inflation actually is the expectation of rising
Yes.
inflation. If you think that inflation is going to rise, then you're more likely to push for a pay rise in order to counteract the rising cost of living. So one of the important jobs of a central bank is to manage expectations and to have credibility that the central bank has the firepower and the willingness to do something about inflation. So that's one constituency he's talking about. He's probably also talking to his peers on the Monetary Policy Committee, because, you know, not everyone, there's a range of views on the Monetary Policy Committee about inflation, about whether it's transitory, about whether it's more structural. And I think he's probably sending a message to his colleagues saying, this is what I think, and you know, maybe you should come into line with my thinking.
Indeed, and it's possible, isn't it, that particularly that first constituency that you talk about, if he warns about the potential rise in interest rates, that might actually affect behaviour in the real economy. And, well, it would, you might not need to raise rates, because people might not choose to borrow less and spend less because they're worried about rising borrowing costs.
Absolutely. You know, if you think that your mortgage is going to go up, if you think that things are going to become more expensive to borrow money, then you will be less predisposed to spend money, and as you say, that may do the hard work. You know, you may we talked a couple of years ago about, you know, something called forward guidance under Andrew Bailey's predecessor Mark Carney. I mean, he saw that one of his jobs was to guide the market about the bank's thinking in order to take away the need to actually, you know, enact tightening measures. If you just talk about it, it might be enough.
Yeah, and let's talk about what, you know, if it were to arrive, what that interest rate rise would mean, and put it in a sort of historical context as well as if we can. I mean, the we have had rate rises relatively recently, certainly in the last few years, and we know that the rate at the moment is at an emergency low level, a rate that was lowered, I think, from 0.25 to 0.1 at the start of the pandemic, and that was obviously to do with the anticipated hit to the economy that the banks saw coming. So how are we going to view a rate rise if it does come, Tom? Is it simply a reversal of that emergency rate cut? Is it actually something that was inevitable and is still going to leave rates at very low levels? Or do you see it in a slightly different way, where the bank actually has been a bit caught out by this burst of inflation and it's having to do something now under a bit of time pressure because it can see a big problem coming down the road?
Well, that is a very complicated question. I mean, the outlook for interest rates is very murky at the moment, because there are lots of moving parts here. I mean, I think in the initial stage, it clearly is just a reversal of an emergency interest rate, which was inevitable. It had to happen at some point. The market expectations, though, really on the back of what Andrew Bailey said at the weekend, is that we will see, you know, several rate rises, maybe four over the next year or so, to take interest rates back up to maybe 1 or 1.25% percent. Now, in historical terms, of course, that is still a very low level. The reality, of course, though, is that debts are very high, house prices are very high, mortgages are very high, and even a 1.25% interest rate starts to become a problem for people who are sort of living on the edge of affordability.
Yeah, indeed. And it does feel this time round, when we're talking about this potential rate rise, it does feel very different from, I think it was 2017 maybe, that we saw rate rises, because back then, there was a sense that, you know, this is to do with normalizing the economy after all these years of abnormal monetary policy. The economy wasn't growing great guns, but it was seemingly quite robust and strong enough to take a rate rise. This time feels different, doesn't it? This is actually driven by inflation that needs to be addressed. And that's, you know, probably if the bank didn't have to raise rates right now, given the state of the economy elsewhere, it probably wouldn't be doing it. It's just because of this inflation factor.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think that's what makes the current situation so challenging for the Bank of England. At the same time, it has potentially an inflationary problem and a growth problem. I mean, there are a lot of headwinds ahead for the UK economy. The furlough scheme is coming to an end. Universal credit has gone up recently. Energy prices are rising. There are lots of things which have the potential not to be inflationary, but actually to be deflationary, to slow the economy down. So the Bank of England is really walking a tightrope at the moment between, you know, dragging back on inflation, but at the same time not scuppering the recovery, you know, and that is a really, really difficult job for it.
Yeah, indeed. Now, we've mentioned mortgages because that's always part of the conversation when we talk about interest rates, as is other borrowing and savings rates as well. But on this point about mortgages, you know, there'll be lots in the press around, you know, whether you should fix your mortgage right now because rates are about to rise. Let's just spend a bit of time, Tom, explaining, if we can, what the relationship is between the Bank of England rate and mortgages. There's a relationship, but it's not a very direct one, is it?
No, not always. I mean, you know, broadly speaking, if interest rates go up, then mortgage rates tend to follow fairly quickly. If interest rates come down, then they tend to fall as well, although maybe not quite as quickly as they follow rates up. Funny, isn't it? Yeah, it's a bit like petrol prices. Yeah, I think, you know, so there is a connection, but there are other factors involved as well. I mean, for a bank, it's partly the relationship between, you know, attracting money in through deposits and lending money out through mortgages. So that will affect. So there's a supply and demand element to the pricing of mortgage rates. Yeah, but broadly speaking, you know, if interest rates go up, then you should expect mortgage rates to go up, and that's why a lot of people are talking at the moment about you know, fixing their mortgages if they get the chance, because at the moment you can fix your mortgage at a very attractive rate. And I think a lot of people are saying, well, if not now, then when? Because if I can lock in a mortgage at, you know, 1.2, 1.5%, whatever the rate is, depending on your circumstances, these are, you know, rates which are likely to look very attractive in years to come.
Yeah, yeah. Finally, then, Tom, let's turn to some of the market, or the wider market implications of this. Some assets are going to be directly affected by higher inflation and higher interest rates. Others less directly affected, but still affected nonetheless. Are there places that you can shelter from inflation and higher rates, Tom? I mean, it's a question we've asked many times in the last few weeks, but can you find those places in the market that will be a shelter from these factors or not?
Yes, and it partly depends on just how serious a problem inflation is, because if inflation really does get a grip and take hold, then most assets will suffer. I mean, inflation is essentially a tax on people's earnings. It's a hidden tax, but it's a real tax, and that tends to be bad news for all assets. There's a very direct link between fixed income investments and interest rates. So bond prices tend to fall as interest rates and yields rise. But even with shares, you know, at relatively low levels, if inflation is not too much of a problem, then, you know, shares, particularly companies which have a degree of pricing power, can handle a low level of inflation. But if inflation gets up beyond sort of 5 or 6%, then that can be a problem even for those companies. Now, there are some assets which have a history of handling inflation better. Gold is a good example. You know, property has some inflation hedging characteristics as well. Infrastructure investments. So, you know, you can broaden your horizons and find assets which are better attuned to an inflationary environment. But investing when inflation is rising is not easy.
No, it's not. And one thing to mention here, perhaps, Tom, is the banks themselves. You know, we've alluded to their, you know, talk about pricing power. They do have pricing power for mortgages and things when rates go up. Yeah. They traditionally have been places that enjoy higher interest rate environments. I guess, you know, there might be other factors, but they may be an area to look at.
Yes, I mean, one of the reasons why banks tend to do well in a rising interest rate environment is that it's more possible, it's easier for them to earn a profit essentially on the difference between the price at which they lend money out and the price at which they borrow money. And when interest rates are very low, the gap between those two tends to be very small, and it's very difficult for a bank to cover its costs and make a profit. As interest rates rise, it becomes easier. So traditionally, banks are one of the places, one of the sectors that investors can look at in a more inflationary environment.
Okay. Well, we've covered absolutely loads there, Tom, and it's all we have time for now. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Ed.
You've been listening to the Money Talk podcast. Check fidelity.co.uk for daily written updates and articles on these and other topics from across Fidelity in the UK. And subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast downloaded direct to your devices every week. Please be aware that the value of investments and the income you get from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information doesn't constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Eligibility to invest in an ISA or a pension and the value of tax savings depends on personal circumstances, and all tax rules may change. You will not normally be able to access money held in a pension until the age of 55. Reference to specific securities or funds should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities or funds and is included for the purpose of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor.